Meaning of Life, a talk given by Venerable Dr. Kesari Dhammananda Thera at the Sri Lanka Ram Buddhist Temple, Singapore.
The subjects that we have chosen tonight is a very complicated subject. The origin of life. We have to start from the beginning. According to our religious history, what sort of belief, mythologies, people maintain regarding this subject. So one of the oldest religions that which exists in this world today is Hinduism. Hinduism says, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, in Sanskrit language. The Supreme God or the Creator or the Brahma is the only truth. But the world is nothing but Maya or illusion. In reality, there is no world, there is no life, but only the Creator. And they have introduced three names, Brahma, Vishnu, and Ishwar. And these three powerful gods are responsible for everything in this universe. Brahma is the Creator. Vishnu is the God who looks after His creation. Ishwar is the most powerful, energetic God which or who can destroy the whole universe. Regarding the origin of life, what is their concept? They say, at the beginning, Parabrahma, Parabrahma means the Supreme God, created all the elements. When the elements and environments and atmosphere, all these things are ready, then He created Atma, soul. Then the formation has taken place in different forms, different shapes. He allowed this soul to transmigrate from life to life. That is called reincarnation. When that soul is completely purified, again he absorbs the soul that he was created, and they introduced this as union with Brahma. That is the final goal. They maintained this concept for thousands of years, are still maintained. Then what are the views Judaism also. They say that God created the whole world, whole universe, and everything that which exists. Then they single out first that God created Adam and Eve, man and woman. Later, the devil created temptation in their minds, and they have taken the forbidden fruit. Because of this, the whole mankind has become sinners. To get rid of this problem, or to wash away the sins, such as original sin, we must be baptized. Otherwise, we have no chance to go to heaven. Whether it is true or not, my personal belief is they have narrated this story by introducing the original sin in order to convert people. Then there are many others so-called intellectuals who are not ready to accept these theories and mythologies and beliefs. In fact, they have no any particular religion. They say there is a universal consciousness, and each and every living being and everything in this world is the unit of this universal consciousness. So the life and various other identities that we recognize and introduce are our own concepts. So after our death, again, absorbed into the same universal consciousness, then there are some others who are not ready to accept even this. Most of them are scientists, psychologists, rationalists, freethinkers, philosophers, and agnostics. To them, there is no God to create anything. There is no reward and punishment from God. The life come into existence in this world accidentally. It's a coincidence, not planned, not created by anybody. That is why the whole world is in a chaotic condition today. So they are not ready to accept that belief. Now let us refer to some of those intellectuals. H.G. Wells, a well-known historian, when you read his history book, you can see he says about the beginning of this world and life. He says, we were taught, according to our religion, that God has created this world within a few days. About 6 to 7 thousand years ago, when you study geology or geography, science, we can understand it has taken millions or billions of years for this earth, this globe, to cool down, to settle down. And many more millions of years, you never had any life on this earth. Now this is his interpretation. Again, the belief that certain scientists maintain, life or the mind is nothing but the byproduct of the elements and energies. First, elements and energies combine, cooperate, work together as a bundle. Then the mind is the cream or the essence of all these elements. They maintain this belief for a long period. Later, Albert Einstein mentioned, it is impossible for life to originate only through the combinations of elements and energies. He says, there must be a mind. Mind must come first. He is the only one who uttered this word among all those scientists. Now let us refer to the Buddha. He defined and analyzed our life into two, nama and rupa. That means mind and matter. In that mind, there are four mental faculties. Simply we say mind, but we do not know what that mind is. Feeling, one of the mental faculties. Perception, our identity, our recognition, is another mental faculty. Mental tendencies, in the Pali language, the Buddha used the word sankhara. All our habits, tendencies, inclinations, attachment, good and bad, things that we have accumulated as ingredients. In one word, the Buddha introduces sankhara. This is another mental faculty. Again, when you refer to the modern psychology, Carl Jung, a Swiss psychologist, in our mind, which we have never realized earlier. That is, collective consciousness. Now what is that? All our habits, individual character, temperament, moods, attitudes are based or depend on our collective consciousness. But he knew only that much. But the Buddha had given very wider analysis regarding this mental tendency. Now this is another mental faculty. Then the last one is vijnana or consciousness. Consciousness is the combination of sensation, perception, mental habits, and the object that we grasp through our senses and through our imagination. When all these ingredients join together, a very strong dynamic mental energy is called consciousness. Now this is the definition given in the Buddha's teaching. Now this is called mind. Otherwise we can give simple answer to introduce mind and matter. When somebody asked this question, Albert Einstein has said, he was asked, what is matter? Never mind. Then what is mind? No matter. This is the correct answer. You do not know the deep meaning of this answer. Because when you analyze matters, you cannot find mind. When you analyze the mind, you cannot find matter. But when these two things join together, condition produces something. For that something, we give our name. Now that is called concept. Man, woman, child, monk. Now these are the names that we have given. But in reality there is nothing but the combinations of mind and matter. When Bertrand Russell, agnostic, who hates every religion, never agree with religious concepts and beliefs, when you read his book, you can see how he ridicules every religion. He says, religions have done more damages to mankind. Religions have divided whole mankind into so many groups and encouraged people to develop jealousy, enmity, hatred, and discrimination. But this is the way how we criticize religion. Anyway, I am not going to advise you to accept is interpretation. But what he says is true. Remember, there is nothing wrong with religion. Any religion, whether it is Buddhism or Hinduism or Christianity or Islam or any other religion. Every religion is trying to contribute something, to do some service to mankind. But those who follow these religions, who claim these religions, misuse, abuse by using their selfishness and cunningness. So we should not blame religion. Those who handle these religions, every religion, including Buddhism, misuse and abuse. So many people try to do away with religion because of this attitude. They say, in certain countries where there are no religions, people maintain more peace and harmony and unity amongst the mankind. But in those countries where people maintain and glorify their religion, they fight. They are jealous. They cannot tolerate another religion. Then what is the big idea of following a religion? As I mentioned earlier, please don't misunderstand me. Religion is good. People say, religion is irrational. Science is inhuman. Politics is dirty. Man is unreliable. It is true. Why do we say religion is irrational? Religion is trying to promote superstitious beliefs and dogmas and mythologies as truth and facts and blindfold innocent people for their own benefit. Every religion. But religion is good. Science. Intelligent people have discovered so many things in this world which we have never heard. For the betterment of the mankind, to do some service to mankind. Let us say, atomic energy. But today, man's selfishness, cunningness, wickedness, misuse and abuse, and that discovery, this atomic energy, has become a monster, a devil, which can destroy the whole mankind. Science has no heart to consider, to develop sympathy and compassion. Politics. How can we say politics is dirty? What is the purpose of politics? To serve the mankind. To protect, to maintain peace and order and justice. Therefore, politics is very important. But all over the world, politicians abuse, misuse, use their authority to create enormous misery Man is unreliable. It is true. One man cannot trust another man. We can trust animals, but not human beings. Husbands and wives who live together more than 50 years are still. Husband cannot trust wife, wife cannot trust husband. This is the nature of human mind. Because temptation, irritation, disturbances change the mental attitude. Now here you can understand why religion is important. Let it be any religion. We are not worried about religious labels. If religion can train and tame and guide this mind, because science also cannot do that. Philosophy also cannot do this. Politics also cannot do this. By punishing also we cannot train human mind. Religion is the only solution if we really practice and uphold religious principles. Then Bertrand Russell says, amongst the founders of all those religions in this world, I respect only one man. He is the Buddha. Why? He is the only religious teacher who never made any false statement about the beginning of the world. Because he knew what this world is. But all the others have made false statement. Therefore I respect him. Again he says, some people say that this world and the life were created by a powerful God. According to my understanding, actually, I cannot believe that this world was created by God, because God is merciful, almighty, who can understand everything. Therefore, I believe that this world was created by a devil when the God was looking somewhere else. Because God come to know that devil is going to create this world, he never allowed him to do that. And this is the way how they pass remarks. We have to measure everything unbiasedly. Don't accept any religious belief or any holy books as truth and fact and reality. The Buddha has given this advice. Don't depend on your holy book. Use your common sense. Now then you can analyze and understand whether it is true or not. Don't accept blindly. He has given us full freedom to think without depending on Buddha or God or holy book. We have human intelligence, but we never give a chance for our human mind to study unbiasedly. Always we are biased. I try to justify that Buddhism is the only religion. is our egoism. If I say Buddhism is the only true religion, my utterance has learned by using my egoism. When this question was put to the Buddha, which is the correct religion in this world? The Buddha never said, "Oh, my religion, or my teaching." Only in my teaching you can find the truth, in their sense. Because he is an enlightened religious teacher. He said, whenever, wherever you can find the truth, accept. Whether it is in your religion or in any other religion, truth is truth. But others say, and find the truth only in their religion, but not in other religions. That is egoism. Again he says, if you can find four noble truths, or eight noble paths in any religion, accept that religion as true reason. These truths are not confined to one particular religion. These truths are not confined to one particular religion. Truth is truth. In simple language, let us define what are the four noble truths. Why are we here in this world? Do you know why? Why are we not happy with our life? Why do we grumble and criticize and accuse and blame and curse and cry and worry? Then, what is the cause of this unsatisfactoriness in our life? Where is the mistake? And who is responsible for this? Then, he says, there is a method. If you cannot satisfy with this life, there is a method for you to get rid of this, to experience complete peace, satisfaction, calmness. This is, in simple language, the real meaning of Four Noble Truths. Eight Noble Paths. Eight methods for us to practice in order to lead a noble life, respectable, noble, reasonable life, without violating any of those universal laws, without disturbing other living beings in this world. By maintaining gentleness and peace and happiness in our mind. Eight Noble Paths. Now can you see these methods are confined only to one particular religion? Since the Buddha has explained clearly, we regard it as Buddhism. Otherwise, it is not a property of the Buddha. Now, this is called religion of freedom and reason for us to analyze and understand this. refer to the Buddha. Whether he has said anything about the beginning of our life, that is the main theme today. Because all the others point out. But still, Buddhists also do not know actually what is the Buddhist concept, or Buddhist attitude towards the origin of Islam. Now, regarding this issue, the Buddha has given us a warning. When you read Anguttara Nikaya, Sutra Pitaka, Anamatagda Sutra, he says, Anamatagoyam dhikkave samsaro pubbhakoti sapanyayati avijja nivarna nantartana. Now this is the final answer. Whatever method we adapt to find out the beginning of this world, beginning of this life, he says, the utter wastage. Because there is no beginning. If there is no beginning, how can you find out the beginning? And here is the Buddha's argument. But we cannot satisfy. Our inquisitive mind, we want to study to find out where is the beginning. Then the scientists have discovered many things. Now let us go back to the scientific discovery. Charles Darwin, theory of evolution, enlightened us. To him, the beginning of this life originated in the water, and the name of that particular creature which appears the first time in this world is amoeba, one cell, living being. That is the origin of life. Then the evolution, development, nobody calculate in terms of years, such a long period. And today, we stand here in this world as human beings because of this evolution. We cannot say he is wrong. Of course, many other religionists had a very hard time because of this new discovery. According to them, life was created at once, no evolution. But the science says, no such creation. Then can we merge as Buddhists? Or can we agree with this discovery? Still people do not know. Before that, when you study what Hinduism or Indian philosophy says about the origin of life, I can point out how they have learned anthropology few thousand years earlier. It is in Sanskrit. Matya Kurmo Varascha Nrasimhocha Vamana Rama Rama Chasa Krishna Bauddha Kalki. 10 incarnations of God. This is actually theory of evolution. is Kodiya, territory. Tortoise. This creature can live in the water as well as on the earth. That is the evolution. Third incarnation is a polygot animal, pig. Then the next incarnation is Narsingha. That means half animal and half human. Human head, animal figure. People believe that there was a such creature with millions or billions of years ago on this earth. That is evolution. Then, Vaman, dog, small, like a small child, a human figure appeared on this earth, reincarnations of God. Then, Parashuram, well-developed physical body, but not cultured, always used an axe or weapon in his hand. Further development or evolution. Then, Rama. Today, many Hindus worship and pray. They always say, Om Ram, 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 Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. That is their prayer. They mention the name of this God, Ram. And the eighth one is Krishna. Hindus pay more respect and homage to Krishna. So they believe Krishna, God Krishna, is more cultured, civilized, religious-minded, philosophical. He analyzes things philosophically. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you can see beautiful advice. You can say 50% of the teaching is Dhammapada. Same teaching you can find in Bhagavad Gita also. Then the ninth incarnation, last one, the Buddha. They accommodate the Buddha as an incarnation of God. The Buddha did not acknowledge this. But when they wanted to pay respect to the Buddha, they accommodated him as one of the incarnations of the God. That means further development. That is wisdom or enlightenment and virtues. Before the end of this world, the last incarnation of God will appear. His name is Kalki. Now, this is another important issue. Christianity says second coming of Jesus. So still there is hope. Jesus did not get fed up. Again he will appear. We must respect him. Here Hindus say another incarnation of God will appear. Buddhism says cycle. I'll explain later what is the cycle. Four Buddhas have already appeared. Pakkusandha, Ponagama, Kashyapa,